Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning.
Wherever you are.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening on in to another weekly episode of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, where we break down the NFL the best we know how.
And an attempt to pull out of our little slide with our picks.
We're trying.
Let me tell you what. The year that I won the National Handicappers Bowl the first time, I hit 62.8% of my picks. I started out the first week like 0-6.
Like this?
Yeah. But you know, last week, I mean, I had a much better week than the week before. I think I won. No, I think I've just been one for.
No, we haven't had a good
week. Hey, we're
yet.
Not the only. Hey, can I tell you what? Look around. There are no handicappers to be found that are telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Because it's been a real. This is why the NFL's so hard. But listen, let's talk first and foremost about Rob Baronis. We lost a really. From what I understand, he was a great guy. Married Terry Bradshaw's daughter.
Yep. Rachel Bradshaw.
Yeah, and he passed away in a car accident yesterday. And it's sad when anybody dies long before their time. And Rob Baronis, I mean, he was a good kicker, great kicker. Mm-hmm. What's Berman made up? You know how he makes up nicknames for all of them. He was like da 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 Rob Baronis, and that's why I remember the guy. I think I had him on a fantasy team once.
He had the best fantasy football name, one of the best.
He also had a great record at one time. I want to say he was like at 89 or 90% of his kicks, and. Mm-hmm.
He holds the Tennessee Titans record for game-winning field goals, which is so he has 11 game winners, which is a Tennessee Titans franchise record.
That's clutch, and our prayers are with his family certainly, and just hate to see that. I was watching football last night. I actually drove back from Greenville yesterday. I took my yearly recruiting trip for my college wooden bat baseball team. So I went down Interstate 81, saw four or five different colleges on the way to North Carolina. Once I got to North Carolina, I stopped in Wake Forest and Winston-Salem, UNC Greensboro and Greensboro.
Did you go on and raise up?
What's that?
Did you go on and raise up?
What do you mean?
We're gonna have to learn you something on the North Carolina. When you go to North Carolina, you go on and raise up.
I've never heard that.
Matt, you need to find that.
I lived there for like 20 years and never heard that. All you have to know about North Carolina is everything is over yonder, and I'm fixing to go get something. You know, you're always fixing to do something. I'm fixing to do that. I'm going to do something today. I'm fixing to go over here.
So you don't actually do anything. You just
talk
about it.
You just talk about doing stuff. Let me tell you, but East Carolina University
had a good game.
Hall of Fame weekend. We inducted Eddie Hicks, who played for the New York Giants and the Philadelphia mm-hmm. Eagles, into the Hall of Fame. We inducted three other people, and I can't believe. Oh, there was a gentleman sitting at my table mm-hmm. With some help. He had a younger gentleman with him that I actually saw on TV cheering with a group of people in purple. He played in 1941 on the East Carolina University football team, and it was tough to do that because so many people had entered the draft, and so many people just back then people would just enlist in the Army. Mm-hmm. And he played football, and he was 96 years old. He looked great. His name escapes me. I almost said escape.
Escapes.
God, I started to sound like Roy. But the thing of it is that he was a wonderful gentleman, looked great. He sat at our table, Coach John Welborn, who's in the Hall of Fame at East Carolina, my wrestling coach from college. Bill Hill was there. Milt Sherman was there. Mike Radford, I don't think he was there for that. He came to the tailgate. But a lot of my former teammates, we hold. And what was great about being down there was all of these guys that I know that played football there, either for Sonny Randall. Some of the guys got recruited by Mike McGee, and then he left for Duke in 70, and Sonny Randall got the head job. And Randall stayed there till 75, then he went to the University of Virginia in the middle of the night, which was pretty weird. But that was his alma mater, so you got to give him that. And a year later, Pat Dye showed up. Well, I got to see Pat Dye. And not only did I see him, we talked. Saw Jenna Heath, Kelly Heath's sister. Saw Al Heath, her brother. I'm saying all these names because I'm hoping they're listening to the show. But I got to tell you, it was so much fun. And then my play of the year, which I shared with everybody Friday, was East Carolina minus two. It was only a two-point line at the time. It went to 2.5. Then it went to 3. They scored.
They were plus 3.
No, they were minus 3. No, they were favored.
They were favored.
Trust me. I know. They were minus 2.5. I took them and said it was my play of the year in CAA. They won 70-41.
Yeah, they blew out UNC.
Let me explain this to you. Think of the school where your alma mater hated the most. The school they hated the most. The one they despised the most. You know, if you die intestate in North Carolina, and this was true in 1980 when I took a real estate course there. If you die intestate, and for all you people that aren't lawyers out there, that means without a will. Mm-hmm. You know where all of your belongings, all of your holdings go? The University of North Carolina. That's why they have so much money. But North Carolina, when former coach for the Cowboys, Butch Davis, who was defensive coordinator and worked with the guy that was actually his boss, the defensive coordinator that ended up coaching in Chicago for the Dallas Cowboys when they won 3 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. Butch Davis was like defensive line coach. He got them in so much trouble with recruiting that they're still not getting as many recruits as they're allowed. I think it's over with now, but for the past
it's never over.
But don't you remember all the trouble UNC got into?
Yeah, they're still in a lot of trouble.
Well, they're in a lot of trouble because some of their basketball players.
Now it's on the basketball side of things.
Now some of their basketball players
admitted. They don't go to class and they can't read.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But Ruffin McNeil, the head coach at East Carolina University, if we hadn't lost to South Carolina 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, hey, we'd be right there near the top 10, I'd say. If we had beaten South Carolina, UNC was ranked 25th. In the USA Today poll last Monday. And we weren't. We were 33rd. And we were like underneath in a little bitty print thing. I think we're going to be in the top 25 now after having knocked them off. What happened to West Virginia? Did you see the final? You didn't watch the whole game, did you?
I watched most of it.
What happened to them? They were playing so well.
I came in watching the...
They couldn't stop the run.
I started watching the second quarter... And we were winning. When I started watching, we were winning. And then we scored the touchdown. Clint Trickett threw the go-ahead touchdown.
17-10
2 minutes left in the game. And I'm like, 2 minutes left in the half. I'm like, all right, we're up by 7. We're going to go in the half.
They went right down the field. Yeah.
And then they kicked the kickoff, and Oklahoma ran it back. And that was pretty much the start of the downgoing of my night.
You know what? The thing about Stoops.
Sucked after that.
The thing about Bobby Stoops is that he will run the football. And I'm going to tell you something.
Well, they're getting back to that.
Well, you know what?
A couple years ago, they
did you see that running back that they had last night? He looked like an NFL player. He looked like he weighed 230, and he was fast.
Mm-hmm. True rookie.
I mean, he was like just running into people and moving piles last night. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to our show. I got Roy and Matt here. We got Russ Baxter on at 10:15. Mm-hmm. For those of you that love the NFL, you need to listen. He is profootballguru.com. He's got all kinds of stuff going, Russ. You know what he's got.
At Bax Football Guru, he has his own site where you can buy t-shirts. I think he donates to cancer.
Yeah, he does.
So go ahead and buy a t-shirt. He also writes for Bleacher Report.
Which is a great publication, by the way.
12 other websites. I think he writes for like NFL Female and Yahoo.
He's a busy guy.
Everywhere.
He loves what he does. And we're going to have Russ on. And the great thing about Russ is every time he's on, you learn something new. And you know what? If you can't learn something new, why even listen? Hey, for the first time in generations, people, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm a realtor. We'll be back in a minute with More from News Talk Sports Talk, AM 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Running down some NCAA scores until we have Mr. Russell Baxter
on
the air.
Give me the scores. I want to talk about some of these games.
Starting in the top 25, we're going to run down those scores.
And by the way, they're going to have four teams in the playoff. That starts this year, right?
Yes.
Can I tell you what? That's not enough. Eight is the number. And six would make more sense, and you give one and two a bye, maybe. Uh-huh. But what I would do is go to eight. Listen, if you're number eight in the country, look at me. Because West Virginia, one day when they get a new coach and a new program and a new athletic director maybe and all that stuff, they may be number eight or seven even. Don't you think they deserve to get into that tournament? Of course they would. You'd play 1-8 and 2-7. You seed everybody. You play 4 and 5, play each other. All it is one more week of football. One more week of football. We're still going to have all those BS bowl games.
We are still having the bowl games, yeah.
But we're not going to have those eight teams wouldn't be in a bowl game. They're already in their bowl game, right? How are they going to raise all that money they get from the bowl games? No. The playoff. The playoff isn't separate from, in other words, if those eight teams are in a playoff,
yes,
they will not play in a bowl game.
Right, correct.
Well, that's all I want to know. Then they need to be able, I guess they're going to make all kinds of money.
The playoff.
And I guarantee you that's why there's four teams.
The playoff as it sits right now is four teams. And if you knew the BCS, the way that it laid out with the four major bowls, so there was the Orange Bowl, the Tostitos Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, and the Rose Bowl.
Right.
So now we have four teams, which is three games. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to circulate. The major bowls are going to circulate. So they're all going to get their own playoff bowl. So with that, if you went to eight games, eight teams.
One more month. Right. I mean, it's one more week of football.
Well, if you went to eight teams, that is how many games?
Five games? No, it's 3 weeks. It's you play four games the first week, two the second, it's seven games.
Seven games.
Just like a wrestling tournament.
So you would need three new major sponsors.
They're out there.
And you need them to pay it out. And right now, the way that's set up with the bowl games and everything like that, people are already worried. Look, I want it to go to eight.
It needs to be eight games.
It's all about money, and it's always been about money.
Well, that's what I said when you started explaining it. It's about money because with four, they make a lot more money.
Yeah, if they get major sponsors.
Maybe Budweiser will. We got Russ on the phone. Russell, how are you, buddy? Russ, how you doing, buddy? You on the phone? I can't hear anything. Russ, you on the phone, buddy? Can you hear me?
No. Let's try to get Russ back on.
Let's see if we can get Russ back on, Matt.
So until new money comes in, they're not going to expand because they did just enough to keep it so the BCS money and all of the four major bowl game money still exists and they're not losing anything else.
You know who's going to know something about this is going to be Russell. But you remember your friend that we had on a couple of years ago that talked about, and that's what he talked about, was the NCAA going to the super conferences?
Yep.
We need to get him back on because that guy had an answer for every question we asked him. He was unbelievable. Russell, how are you, buddy? Hey, Russell. How you doing, Russ?
Okay. I've sent the caller to voicemail.
Okay. That's nice. Is that Surrey? I think I got Surrey, Matt.
Try one more time, Matt.
Matt's having as much luck getting our callers on the phone as we do picking NFL teams to cover the point spread. I'm just kidding. We're going to have a great season, week this week. Anyway, so let's get back to that. I mean, think about it for a second.
Like, I think they should.
Let's just say you're number five in the country. Mm-hmm. You don't get to play. You're number six. You don't get to play. But you could be able to win that. I mean, theoretically, you're probably good enough to knock somebody off and be the national champion. Mm-hmm. Like, because with four, I mean, out of the four they pick, you and I will be able to look at those four teams and go, there's your winner.
Well, there's 10 conferences. There's 10 conferences in college football.
Right.
There are four playoff spots and five power conferences, so to speak. The quotations around power conferences.
Right.
So you have the ACC, you have the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac 12, the SEC. Those are your power. And then you have the American, if you want to throw that in there. And then you have the Sun Belt Conference, who has some decent football programs. So, look, it's never going to be perfect because in order to get all of the conference champions in there, like you do with college basketball, you're going to have to expand to a 12 team field with all of the champions. You want to need all the conference champions, and
hold
you're going to have
that
to get
thought.
Two like,
hold
wild cards.
That thought, Roy. Russ, you on there?
I'm here. Hey,
thank you. Sorry about that, Russ. I have no idea what's going on, but I got a feeling it's probably our problem, not yours, because you sound like you're on a hard line, right?
I am on a hard line.
Well, thank you.
And it was hard to get through.
Yeah, I know. Well, we live in Maryland. Where we do this show is in Maryland, and that's all I need
nothing
to tell
goes
you.
Right in
Maryland. There's nothing that happens even close to normal in the state of Maryland.
Do yourself a favor. Let's not waste time talking about that. Let's get right to the football.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, we could just AT&T or whoever your carrier is another time. Let's get to the NFL.
No, I got you. Well, I'm hoping I can keep you another segment because we took so long getting you on. But if we don't, let's talk about this week. What do you see that's working out? Go ahead.
Let's talk some football.
Okay. Let me ask you about this. What do you see that happened the first 2 weeks that just totally took you by surprise in the NFL?
Well, you know, every once in a while, guys, you see a trend maybe in the first week that you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And the trend in the first week was blown leads. We saw a lot of double-digit blown leads, and we saw some teams get away with it, like Buffalo and Cincinnati and Denver and Pittsburgh. And we saw some teams not get away with it, like New England and New Orleans and San Diego and Jacksonville. But
right.
Then we saw it again last week, San Francisco. Indianapolis. I know I'm forgetting another one. Okay. I mean, so every time you turn around now, the NFL has turned into the NBA. Teams going on runs.
Yeah, the 49ers blew a lead last week. I mean,
I said San Francisco, Indianapolis, and there's another, I'll think of it in a second, that blew a double digit lead in the game. And you're just kind of scratching your head. What, you know, what's going on here? Is it conditioning? Is it game plan? Is it, you know, then of course you get to Thursday night and there was no blown leads. It was just a blowout.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
That was
be honest with you, it was exactly the way I called it too. I knew they'd score a lot of points, and it looks to me like Atlanta, I mean, that, you know, one of the things that you know happens all the time is preseason really isn't doing the job that it used to do. I think a lot of times the first and second games of the season are really the last two preseason games. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think preseason has an enormous part because I think the way that the preseason is structured is actually ridiculous. We play for a couple series the first game. You play for a quarter and change the second game. You play for a half or three quarters, and then you take the week off. So you go into these games – and I'm telling you now, and I know people don't want to hear it in this regard, the best thing that could happen in terms of the quality of the product is to go to an 18-game season. And I say that because those two remember, we only had two preseason games.
Right.
They're not going to go to four. It's a 20-game block for the NFL. It used to be 14-6. Now it's 16-4. Now then it'll be 18-2. And those two preseason games will be played with a lot more, I don't want to say intensity, but with a lot more need to fine-tune the game. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw in the first preseason game you play three quarters or a half, or in the second one, three quarters and a half, and then you hit the ground running in terms of momentum and tempo. And I think that will improve the product.
You know, a lot of former players that are on television and on the radio, they're saying the exact same thing you are. Preseason isn't getting them ready. Plus, the first time they really go out there and play 100%, they're getting injured. I mean, look at the injury report this week. It's like reading the Bible. I mean, it's long, you know?
Yes, and prominent. and prominent too, Bruce. And listen, we see a lot of injuries now in the off season before we even get to the preseason. You know, the new wave is torn Achilles for the last couple of years. But basically, it's been torn muscles the last couple of years. I remember watching the NFL 20, 30 years ago. People pulled muscles. Now they tear them. And I don't know, you know, maybe you really have to go back and reevaluate how the off-season program is going, the lack of hitting. I just think maybe it needs to be restructured. I understand the safety aspect of it, but I think you can be safe and hit if it's done properly. You got to combine all the things that we've learned and see if we can do something about the product earlier in the season. And listen, we're always going to have blown leads in games and stuff like this.
Absolutely.
Because in the NFL, it's not like high school or college.
No.
You know, a 17-point lead, a 10-point lead, it's really not that big of a deal, to be honest with you. But when you see it as many times as 1 week or 2 weeks that we have, that is a little bit of that's the kind of the head scratcher where you're kind of like, wow, I mean, what is going on here that we are seeing some of this? And by the way, the third team just popped into my head. The Jets. We're up 21-3 at Green Bay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, you know, and we picked the Jets to go to the, at least I picked the Jets to go to the playoffs this year. I like the Jets.
I like the Jets too.
I like their personnel, but they did blow a big lead.
Oh. Right. I mean, you think about San Francisco and Indianapolis last week, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Two playoff teams who blew leads at home.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Indianapolis. I didn't really see what everybody else saw with Indianapolis early in the year, but I love Andrew Luck. You know, you got to think that they're just going to get better. Now, there's a lot of people in that town that aren't crazy about their head coach, even though he's a wonderful guy and he beat cancer and did all those great things. But a lot of people think that there are people that have left there, to go elsewhere that had a lot to do with the success of the Indianapolis Colts. And Andrew Luck just looked like he was struggling last week. Now, he got some good fantasy numbers, but he didn't look happy. And he didn't get sacked either, but how many times did he get hit? I mean, I think he gets hit more than any quarterback in the league.
Well, I'll throw something out to you, okay?
Okay.
There's a quarterback in this league in his last four outings, which would include the playoffs last year,
mm-hmm.
that has thrown 11 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions.
Now, who would that be?
That's Andrew Luck.
Yeah. You know what? He tries to make too much happen sometimes, and I think a lot of that is just his personnel grouping around him.
But here's the problem. Where is the running game?
Well,
okay?
Exactly.
Where is the defense? He's kind of a one-man show, and to be really honest with you, it's kind of like the last year or even the last couple of years of Peyton Manning was there.
Yeah. Hey, Russ, can you stay on another segment with us, or do you have to run?
No, I can stay. I'm not running. Don't hang up on me.
We're not going to hang up. But trust me, you're on, Russ. And listen, when we get back, I want you to talk about what you do on an NFL Sunday. We'll be back in a minute with Russell Baxter on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We are still live here with Russell Baxter. You can follow him at BaxFootballGuru. He's a writer for Bleacher Report, Pro Player, Insider, Fan Sided, NFL Female, Yahoo. And he also, if you can catch him on his internet show on Google Hangouts, it's First in 60. Great show. I've caught it a couple times. And
East Carolina Pirates did a First in 38 and scored a touchdown yesterday.
similar.
Yep.
So, Russell, it's NFL Sunday. It's a big day. It is a national grill holiday every Sunday. And so me and my buddies, you know, we get together. Today we will be smoking some ribs. Last weekend it was chicken. And we have to do it with a grill, and we have to do it with a smoker, and we have to do it big, and we invite 12, 15 people over, and we get the big, you know, the big trays of macaroni and cheese. So how does Russell Baxter do NFL Sunday?
Now, how do you smoke a rib? Do you wrap that in paper and then light it?
Yeah. Well, you got to chop it up first.
We have. Okay. We have.
I mean, that's got to be some sensation, I could imagine.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, it all depends. These days, I either occasionally I'll spend a day at home and flip around the channels, or have two TVs, or red zone it, and so on. Or a lot of times, I'll go down to a place down the road called Sliders, which has a ton of TVs, and watch as many games as humanly possible. And that's a typical Sunday for me. But I mean, for me, during the whole week, I'm just constantly trying to tweet out information and write my pieces and get facts out there. I'm a facts guy, and I like people to form their own opinions. I have my opinions based on facts, but I like to provide information for people. I try to remind people all the time, because is not a fact. I think that defense is great. Because. Well, because why? Well, because. Well,
that's not good, man. Hey, Roy.
Hey. Thanks for clearing that up for me. So, and I think that's the part I like to do. And my, you know, favorite responses are anytime you get somebody say, hey, I didn't know that, or that's kind of cool, or so on. You know, we used to call that water cooler conversation. Now it's cell phone conversation. It's text conversation. And, you know, judging by the amount of retweets, I think people really enjoy that stuff. I'll get every once in a while, I'll get the dissenting vote of, Russell, why do you do so many historic stats? And, you know, I'll get that. I actually get that from people that kind of surprised me. But I know from my timeline, which I'm very happy and proud of, is the fact that I have all different kind of generations on my timeline. I've got a lot of old-time football fans who've been watching the game as long as I have, and a lot of newer fans who haven't been watching the game as long as I have. And, you know, my timeline is more like a community on Twitter than anything else. And I take a lot of pride in that. And then we sort out the bad guys, and we sort out the people who don't have the right perspective. And, you know, you got to group out here, a mixed company of men, women, children, et cetera. So save your F-bombs for another timeline. I'm not interested.
No, I hear you, Russ. Yep. Russ, let me ask you a quick question. When you look at a week, and I know you look a lot at, you look at football, especially the NFL, a lot like I do. Every week's a different chapter, okay?
Yes.
And every week you have a lot of things that kind of jump out at you that you start writing about. And that's what I love about you, because I'm only interested in that week. The great thing about the NFL and handicapping and having fun with it and fantasy leagues is that you can have a bad week. Please, I've had two in a row. But you can always have a great week the next week. What's jumped out at you this week about, like, the matchups? Anything?
Well, I know everybody's obviously very excited about the Super Bowl rematch with Seattle and Denver. And I think rightfully so, because to be honest with you, you don't see it that often. I mean, there's been 48 Super Bowls. I think it would surprise people to know this is only the sixth time that two teams who met in the Super Bowl meet the following year. And in case you're looking for any kind of great trend, the champs have won the three meetings, and the losers have won two. So there's no real trend there. In fact, we haven't had this in 17 years. Super Bowl 31, Green Bay and New England, they played the following year. In Fox, well, that it would still have been the old stadium, as a matter of fact, Foxborough Stadium, before they moved in to Gillette Stadium. So you don't see that this often. But I also look at the traditional divisional matchups, which is where you can, you know, certainly pinpoint things in terms of players doing well against common opponents, such as Aaron Rodgers, who's lost one game to the Lions as a starter. And the game he lost was in 2010 when he was running down the field and got knocked out with a concussion. And they lost that game 7-3 at Detroit. And they wound up winning the Super Bowl that year. Matt Flynn, remember, he started the following week at New England, and they played really well. So he's lost. I mean, I don't want to do the whole finish games, but he's had amazing success against the Detroit Lions. He's had amazing success against the teams in his division to begin with. But then I'm one of those people that looks at week three but has an eye on week four.
Right.
So I'm already looking at the Packers and Jay Cutler versus the Packers. And ever since Dom Capers got to Green Bay and Jay Cutler got to Chicago, you don't even want to know what Jay Cutler's numbers are against Green Bay Packers.
Right.
I mean, they're awful in terms of interception. So You look at matchups. You look at styles. It's funny. To me, the most intriguing game on the board today is San Diego-Buffalo.
You know, I'm actually on the Bills in that game. And the reason I am is the long trip east and the fact that, you know, that was one hell of a win for them last week. So there's got to be some kind of a letdown. And Buffalo is celebrating something. They're celebrating staying home, you know, staying in Buffalo.
Here's the aspect of the game that intrigues me. You know, San Diego played that slow style ball control, especially down the stretch last year. Let's not forget that during the season last season, and remember, Denver scored 606 points last season in the regular season,
right?
NFL record. They played the San Diego Chargers three times last year. They never scored 30 points, even though they beat the Chargers twice. The Broncos, who were scoring 30 and 40 and 50, couldn't get that because San Diego was able to control the ball and limit their possessions and beat Denver at a game that Denver tried to play in the postseason and did until they got the ball snapped over their head, and it was all downhill from there in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Now San Diego goes to Buffalo. Now, Buffalo, think about this. Last year, the Buffalo Bills had 57 sacks, second in the league to Carolina. I bet a lot of people didn't know that because they were 6-10.
They had a great front seven.
They were the team in the league last year to have three players with 10 or more sacks,
mm-hmm.
Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, and Jerry Hughes. But each of the last five seasons, not including this season, obviously, the Buffalo Bills have been in the bottom five of the league in run defense. So think about last year. That was a team that had 57 sacks but were 28th against the run. That doesn't match up.
Right.
This year, after two games, the Bills are fifth in the league in stopping the run and still getting their sacks.
And they're also running the football a little bit, too.
Right. Well, let's not forget, last year they were second in the league in running,
right.
Bruce.
Right.
Okay? But here's the difference. Sometimes you get a guy who's an okay head coach or not so great head coach,
right.
But he turns out to be a hell of a coordinator. And I think people forget who's now running the Buffalo Bills defense, and that's Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, he's always, when he was in Tennessee, they haven't been the same since he was there defensively. I mean, you know,
The Lions last year, miserable secondary,
right.
And probably a miserable secondary against this year. I mean, between bang up and lack of talent and so on. And last season, the Detroit Lions didn't have a ton of sacks, even though you think about some of their big names like Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley and Ziggy Ansah and so on. But yet the Lions last year were sixth in the league against the run. Jim Schwartz knows something about playing that. And Jim Schwartz is an old school, I rush with four, I don't do a lot of blitzing, I let my linebackers cover the run and cover it. But remember, last year Detroit had 15 interceptions. They got six of them from their linebacker, DeAndre Levy.
Right.
They only got two from their cornerbacks, which shows their lack of talent. But it's a great acid test for the Bills because they're going to come in here against a team that drastically upgraded their offensive line last year.
Right.
And even though Ryan Matthews is hurt,
yeah.
They got one of the best free agent pickups, I thought, in the offseason in Donald Brown, who earned his money last year with the Indianapolis Colts. Finally, he looked like a first-round pick. And I give all the credit in the world to Trent Richardson, because that's the one thing that Trent Richardson managed to do, was motivate Donald Brown.
To do that. Hey,
yeah.
Listen.
Donald Brown runs hard, and he will. That's going to be a really – let's do it this way. For us old-school guys, okay, we think of San Diego and Buffalo from the old AFL. This won't be from the old AFL.
No, you're right. Russ, I can't thank you. Listen, we got to run, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. Russell, but tell everybody where to get you, Russ, because you're the best at doing that. And also, tell me how many followers you have now, too.
We're tickling 33,000 on Back Football Guru. And, you know, follow us on Backs Football Guru because there's going to be a ton of information coming out today. We tweet stats from the games and previewing the games and all the stuff that comes out later. But ProFootballGuru.com is the website. ProFootballGuru on Facebook, which gives all the pieces as well. And, of course, Bleacher Report and FanSided and End Zone Score. And now I'm doing some stuff with DraftKings and Sports TradeX in terms of the fantasy games. And
when do you sleep, Russ? Ever?
February.
That's it, exactly. Russell Baxter, everybody. Russ, I'll be tweeting you today. You know that for sure.
Guys, thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks a lot for coming on, Russ. We love it when you come on. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with Second Opinion.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So the NFL held a press conference this week, and if you want something to fly under the radar, you hold a New York press conference on a Friday when no one can get to it. But that didn't stop a lot of things from happening during Roger Goodell's press conference. We had Howard Stern's buddy squealing and yelling. You had TMZ ripping Roger Goodell a new butt. I mean, it was a very interesting press conference, and I think we learned a lot about how much the NFL was really hiding during this this Ray Rice time.
The best thing that happened in that press conference, though, since Rachel Nichols left ESPN and had a baby. And by the way, the older she gets, the better looking she gets, because she doesn't look like Wednesday Addams anymore. She used to look like the girl on the Addams Family. Mm-hmm. When she first came out, she really had black hair, kind of reddish black hair. And I don't know if she was what she was doing, but she's had a baby. She looks like she's filling out nicely. And she's actually a great interviewer. And she asked Roger Goodell point blank the same questions we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, which is, all right, somebody sent this tape to the NFL headquarters. We know that. Second of all, somebody opened it. We know that. But how come we don't know anything else? And why do you have to hire the FBI guy, the former FBI director, Robert Mueller? Why do you have to hire him? Because you use his law firm 24/7 that he is a principal in. So that's like hiring your brother to do the investigation. And basically what he did was he didn't answer her question. He kept not answering her question.
He didn't really answer anything.
Well, he's not going to answer anything. He's stupid. And see, the problem with this league is they have a $6 billion. It's probably worth a lot more than that. Like, if you wanted to buy the NFL now, I mean, seriously, because they'd have to pay everybody, right? It would cost, think about how, if you bought a team now, it's $1 billion, basically. Some of them are $2 billion, $3 billion, in that range. So multiply, say, $2 billion times 32, mm-hmm. That's $64 billion. That's what it would, and that's not even counting all of the other stuff. You know, this guy's running it, and he can't even answer questions. And that's the big thing. Somebody, Jason Whitlock. Oh, he was great. Did you see Jason Whitlock this weekend? He got on ESPN or on a couple of shows. And I've always liked Jason. You can follow him. I think he's at Jason Whitlock. Pretty easy. And he's like, hey, I'm not a lawyer. All I do is, you know, interview people and write columns and do this and do that. But I speak English a lot better than you do, than he does, but I wouldn't expect somebody to want me, you know, to be the commissioner of the NFL, but I can definitely run a press conference better than he does. I mean, Jason had a lot of good points that he made, and he's absolutely correct. What do you think, Roy? I mean, don't you think the guy's in way over his head?
NFL has made its living, bread and butter, I guess you could say, in deflecting stories and redirecting and saving face, as that's what I like to call it. The NFL saves face, all right? They don't attack problems. They don't really care much for anything unless it's affecting their income. And here we have a situation where they suspended Ray Rice 2 games in a okay go away thing. The video came out. They were forced to move their hand again to save more face, and now you have Roger Goodell parading out there, really just holding a press conference to go through the motions. Like I said, they held it in New York with really no warning to any of the major beat writers. And then they held it on a Friday where a lot of people are traveling. You know, all the big beat writers, they're all traveling to wherever their games are going to be that weekend. So the NFL tried to hide this press conference as much as they could, and they really just did it to roll out a press conference because they had to. They don't really care about domestic violence. They don't really care about any of the other problems that go around in the NFL. The only thing the NFL cares about is the NFL and if it's bringing in any sort of money. So what they've been known for in the past is to kind of throw up a sacrificial lamb, you know, suspend that person, kick that person out of the league, fire that person, whatever it is. And it just so happened this time it was Ray Rice. And I think that if the NFL is going to continue this trend in any way of sacrificial lambs in order to save face, the next person to go has to be Roger Goodell. Whereas a week ago, I thought Roger Goodell was safe. I didn't think this had anything to do with him. I thought that, okay, you know, there's a problem.
This has everything to do with him, and you and I have been on top of it, mm-hmm. me especially, because I go back after we had, once I read the book, mm-hmm. Spygate, The Untold Story.
Yeah, but
you got to understand something. That's a huge cover-up that no one touched. Now, everybody would have touched that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the NFL only, that's what they do. They cover up everything.
Yeah, because but they can't do it anymore.
That's PR. You know?
They've blown it so bad. Boy, they've blown it so bad. Bonnie Bernstein, listen to what she says on Rachel Nichols. And by the way, if you want to follow Rachel Nichols, it's at Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, underscore Nichols, N-I-C-H-O-L-S. Mm-hmm. She said, Bonnie Bernstein, who's also a pretty good reporter, said every major TV network has broken into programming to carry Goodell's presser. That's how big the NFL is in America now. I mean, that's like going to war. I mean, basically, they gave Goodell. There was probably more people watching that than there would have ever been watching the president talk about anything.
The NFL, like I said, has made its way and it has been able to get around things by firing people, suspending people, and not dealing with issues head on. And all this is, this Roger Goodell thing, it's just another way of them doing it. Roger Goodell is going to be gone. There's going to have to be a new commissioner because we already have major sponsors pulling out. There's already major Anheuser-Busch is running things, attacking the NFL. I mean, that is when things really change in the NFL, is when sponsorships get pulled and money starts to go the opposite direction. And the guy who's going to pay for it this time around is Roger Goodell. There's going to be a new commissioner in there. I don't know when. It's not going to be immediate, but there's going to be a new commissioner in the NFL. And the real issue here is going to be swept under the rug, because the real issue here is domestic violence in the NFL.
Okay. Real quick, Roy, let me just go here. The one thing I remember about Whitlock's talk the other day when I saw it on TV, because I was busy this week.
Okay.
But when I wasn't busy, I was in front of the TV. The one thing he said is, hey, even in the United States, we don't expect the president of the United States to hand out punishment. Mm-hmm. It's what you have an attorney general for. A president, the attorney general, we've gone through like, 85 attorney generals, but only 48 presidents. I mean, the point is that you need a guy to just do that stuff. And Goodell isn't the guy that you want to do it. Plus, why do we want a guy that works for the owners to hand out punishment to the players who are just the opposite of owners? Owners are management. Players are what? Employees. That's what they are. They're labor. That's why they have a collective bargaining agreement. They also have all the exemptions that go along with not being a real corporation. They can do anything they want. What's starting to happen now is Congress is fed up with it, but who cares what Congress thinks anyway, because they're a bunch of yo-yos anyway. I'd rather have people with the NFL on Capitol Hill than I would congressmen even stepping foot into the NFL's territory, because they don't do a good enough job with running the country. Sorry about that. I mean, that's true. But I got to tell you, that's where he made sense. Don't you agree? I think what they're going to do is maybe make Goodell You know, the
issue
sheriff.
It's not Goodell, though.
No, but they may make Goodell the sheriff and then bring a guy in to be the commissioner.
This is an NFL problem. It's not a Roger Goodell problem. It's not whoever else is in the front office. This is an NFL-wide problem.
It's also a national
problem.
It
starts with the guy who hit the girl, and that's Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Okay? It starts with Ray Rice, and then it goes to the other players.
Yeah, but think about it. There's a lot of players that have hit girls. Yeah.
And so
but there's a lot of people that do it, too.
So instead of us sitting here and talking about the real issue of a guy hitting a woman who really didn't do anything. Sure, there are times when girls will come at guys with knives and you'll see videos all over YouTube.
She didn't do that.
That wasn't one of these cases. This was Ray Rice, right, a big dude, punching his fiance for seemingly no reason.
Yep.
And that's the real issue here. It's not that Roger Goodell dodged a bunch of questions. It's not that Roger Goodell held a crappy
press conference.
Let's
just say this. That started all of this. But the problem is in how the NFL covered it up. The NFL and the Ravens, listen, I think they are more to blame than the NFL. The Ravens were the first ones to try to cover it up. Mm-hmm. Now the NFL steps in and they try to cover up everything, and it's been horrible.
The NFL is going to take a hit. They're going to take a hit off this, and they're going to get underneath the microscope even more than they already are.
Listen, if you want to weigh in with this, because we could go all day with this, we're going to hit the NFL picks at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I tell you what, you know we're getting into some really good stuff when all the stuff I wanted to do in between, all we're doing is sitting around here going back and forth about the NFL and its problems. And we're all right.
22,000.
And we were talking about that. And we're talking about, you know, PR, breast cancer awareness, cervical cancer awareness, prostate cancer awareness, colon cancer awareness.
You know a conversation has gone weird when Roy starts looking up cancer stats.
Yeah, but I got to tell you.
I don't even know why.
Let me just say this. This, what Rachel Nichols said was so true. The NFL has just gotten almost too big. And one of the things I always say is that they need to count their blessings because they're paying out a lot of money, Roy, right, to all of the ex-football players. And as we go on year after year, there's going to be a lot more money paid out because they came out with a number last week. It was either 23 or 28% of all the people that played NFL football. Mm-hmm. They will be diagnosed with either a Parkinson's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, or what is it? I forget. No. It's when you forget stuff. Come on, help
Alzheimer's?
Me. Alzheimer's. I have the early signs, probably. Let me just tell you, it's nothing to joke about. But listen, as you get older, you don't remember. You can't multitask, can't do this, can't do that. A lot of these guys are there in their 40s, in their early 50s. And they're going to be spending a lot of money. And this is why I say one day we'll be playing football with no helmets on. And I really do believe that. And it doesn't. I don't care that you don't believe it, but you can have a league without helmets. You could have a great league without helmets. Hey, in rugby, it'd be like putting helmets on rugby players. Do you think the rugby players would want to wear helmets?
They play a completely different game.
They hit just as hard as NFL players. NFL players are a bunch of
bad words.
They don't
because
hit us as hard.
They don't even tackle anymore. They just fly across and throw their face at somebody. Now they can't do that defensively, mm-hmm. and a lot, and that's going to help a little bit, but
not a lot.
They're still drilling people. Hey, they're drilling them in college. I saw it yesterday. I mean, if you watch that East Carolina UNC game, UNC wasn't hitting anybody. East Carolina was hitting anything that moved. That's why the score was 70-41. Anyway, I'm Bruce Hall. Let's go over the games. You want to pull them up, and we'll start over them,
sure.
Talk about them? Go ahead.
Sure. The first game up we have.
I love that
first
sound.
Game up. Well, on Thursday night, let's start there. Thursday night, Atlanta beat the crap out of Tampa Bay. The cover there was Atlanta. They covered 6.5. The over-under was 47, and it went over to 70. And yes, Bruce.
Mr. Carter. I had a triple header Thursday night.
Did you?
I had the over. I had Atlanta, and I had Atlanta and the over. And all you got to do is follow me on Twitter, and you get all that information, at Bruce Hall Sports. So far this week, I'm 3-for-3. That's more wins than I've had in 2 weeks in my picks. Because we kind of limit our picks. We really do.
We pick
and
six.
We're going to tell everybody who we picked this week once we do it.
We'll run over a couple times.
But who are we talking about first?
That was the Thursday night game. Atlanta beat the crap out of Tampa Bay.
How bad is Tampa?
They're very bad.
They're horrible.
They're pretty bad.
Do you think that McCown is happy that he went there? Because he was running for his life in that game.
I mean, he's starting, so I guess probably means paycheck.
Atlanta looks a lot better than the team that went 3-13 or 4-12. I don't want to get that wrong because we got a guy at the station that'll come on, man. You got to know that. I know they sucked. How about that?
He's off this week. So.
Oh, is he
What's
off?
His
yeah.
name? What's his name?
Kenny. I don't know.
Hey, Kenny. Kenny, call in. Let us know
Hester,
how we're doing.
Devin Hester wearing a Falcons jersey broke Deion Sanders' kick return record. Who Deion Sanders was drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. So
and Deion's going in.
It's pretty cool.
Deion's going in. Brian Mitchell eventually will go in, and Hester will go in.
Isn't Deion already in?
I don't think so.
I thought he was.
I don't think he's even. You know what? He is in.
Yeah, he was in 2011.
That's right. Well, you know what? It's hard to look. He doesn't look old enough to go in.
He looks good. He stopped playing at, 38?
I bet he could
like
still run a 4.5 40, probably.
I think he played for
Baltimore. Let's go to the next game.
The next game is the San Diego Chargers. They opened up a pick, but now it's Buffalo -2. The over-under here is 45.5.
I'm taking Buffalo for a small play there. I love them. San Diego's coming east after a big win last week at home, where and plus they lost Ryan Matthews for a while.
Yeah.
So but he's pretty damn good. And I'll say this. Listen, Antonio Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Not Antonio Gates.
Yeah, Antonio
Yeah, that's
Gates.
His He caught 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah,
he didn't
good.
Catch 3 touchdown passes when I had him for an entire season last year.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked real good.
I like San Diego in this game. I believe in San Diego. I believe in Phillip Rivers, and I don't think Buffalo is that good.
Well, I think Buffalo's better than everybody thinks. Let's go to the next one. And by the way, Russ liked them, and I need all the advice I can get. Russ likes their front seven. Their front seven are good. Go ahead.
So Dallas is a 1-point favorite after opening up as a pick
at
St. Louis. The over-under here is 44.
St. Louis is starting that rookie quarterback. St. Louis is in trouble. There's no question about it. They're one of the worst teams in the league right now. Dallas, if you look at their numbers, offensively they've got weapons. Defensively, not so much. This game is just too close to call. I'm leaving it alone because I got to root against Dallas, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they won this game. Tony Romo can't look any worse than he's looked either so far. What do you think?
I would stay away from this game, but if I had to pick one, I'd pick Dallas. I mean, it's really a pick. I mean, they're -1.
Total's 44. I mean, Dallas' defense is so bad. If you wanted to hedge here, you could probably either do a parlay with the over, or you could tease the over with Dallas +5.
Sooner or later, the weapons of Dallas have to wake up a little bit. I mean, I know they're Dallas. The Dallas defense sucks.
How about DeMarco Murray?
I mean, there is no offense on the St. Louis side of the ball.
How about DeMarco? Yeah, and plus they're they're starting running backs out, I think. Zach Stacy. He's okay. Somebody's out, though, for them. I can't remember who it is. Let's go to the next game, though. I don't think either of us like that. Oh, God, it's the Giants.
The next Houston Texans visit the New York Giants, where where the Giants are favored by 1 point. The over-under here is 41.5.
I just have one question. Who's blocking J.J. Watt? No, better than that, what two people are blocking J.J. Watt? I'm sorry, what three people are blocking J.J. Watt? Somebody's going to have to chip him, and he's going to have to get double-teamed to keep him out of the backfield. Eli doesn't scramble well anymore, does he?
Not really.
The Giants, in my opinion, are just destined to be 5-11 or 4-12 this year, and they're going to have to just rebuild through the draft in some trades maybe. I just don't see them getting any better. Mm-hmm. And I see Dallas being a little better than them. I see the Redskins being substantially better than them. And Philly's definitely better than them. So the Giants are in last place in the NFL East. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Roy? Do you think they have a chance today?
They still don't really have a running back. I know Rashard Jennings has kind of stepped into that role, but he doesn't really look like that Giants running back that they had when they were good. You know, the Tiki Barber, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw when he was sort of in his prime. They don't have a running game. And without a running game, Eli Manning is forced to throw the ball 60 times a game. And when Eli Manning is throwing the ball, you know, way too much, he starts to make mistakes, he starts to throw interceptions, and their defense isn't good enough to keep the offense, you know, relevant.
I got Houston winning this game 27-23, and I'm not taking Houston
know if they both put up those many points.
They were borderline, but Fitzpatrick's quarterback rating is 118. Eli's is 69.
This is a 14-10 type of game.
Well, I hope you're right.
I have the
You're taking the under, right?
I have the under in this game.
Okay. All righty. Hey, you want me to get this, Matt, right now? Oh, I'm ready for it. For the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect homeownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a couple of minutes with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Going down our Sunday game, so far we have given you one play on the day, that being the under in the Houston New York Giants.
You gave them your play. That would be your play.
That is my play.
That would be your play.
Thus far, we are each giving you six plays on the day.
I'm gonna give them everything. Oh, by the way, if you want to see how I'm doing, I'll tell you how I'm doing.
Don't
not very good.
See how he's doing.
The National Handicappers Bowl. Take my picks every week. Mm-hmm. Go to NHBowl.com. And before you go there, knock on wood and pray for rain. Just say a prayer for me because I'm going to need a little help this week.
A little bit.
I think Roy and I both like New Orleans. Minnesota is going into the Superdome. They're not the team we thought they were. Everybody talked about how great their defense was and Rob Ryan there and blah, 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 blah. I'm pretty sure I remember hearing something about Rob Ryan and Sean Payton kind of bitching at each other a little bit on the sidelines last week. Well, you know, that's what happens when people pick you for the Super Bowl. A lot of people pick New Orleans for the Super Bowl. They're 0-2. They're not going to lose to Minnesota this week. They're going to beat them, and they're going to beat them up. But it's easy to get backdoored a million different ways, minus 10. I took them, though. I got them winning 38-24. What do you think?
I have New Orleans as well, and I'm using it as one of our six plays on the day. So I have New Orleans minus 10 over the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson is not playing because
he disciplines his children.
Yeah, he disciplined his child a little too hard, drew blood, left a scar, and you know the rest is history.
Basically, he's not together with the mom anymore. And
there are grandparents and parents in the South and in the North running for cover right now because they've either spanked or hit their kids with a stick. Now, we're not for child abuse, but you know what? If you're going to discipline your kids, anything that I don't find out about, you know, it's not my business. That's just the way I am. But this kid does. There were pictures of it, and it looks like he hit him pretty hard. So, you know, hey, dude, you know, there's a lot of people. Let's spend 1 minute on this.
Sure.
You can discipline your children by talking to them. You can discipline your children from talking loud to them.
If that works, don't hit them. Because all you do when you hit kids is teach them that that's how you handle your problems, by hitting somebody. And you know what? That's just stupid. One day we'll go over when we're really hurting for time on the show to fill in, which we never do in 2 hours. We'll talk a little bit about one of the reasons I feel like it's something that happens and you really can't hold it against certain people. But we'll talk about that later. All right. So you like New Orleans too?
I like New Orleans.
You're going to take them?
Yep.
I'm going to take them too. Let's go to the next game, Matt.
Next up, the Cincinnati Bengals are 7-point favorites over the Tennessee Titans. The over-under here is 42.5.
They lose A.J. Green, who's one of the top receivers, you know, in the NFL. Andy Dalton has looked phenomenal. Andy Dalton, the Cincinnati Bengals look like they could be a Super Bowl team, possibly. They're the best team, I can tell you right now, in the AFC North. They're better than Baltimore, they're better than Pittsburgh, and they're damn sure better than Cleveland. But I like the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to win 11 or 12 games this year. The total's 42.5. I don't see Tennessee scoring a lot in this game. This could be a 20-10 game. 23-10. That's like a Bengals score, isn't it?
I think the Bengals win here. I think they win big.
AJ
Green was officially upgraded to probable. He did practice fully. He had full participation in Friday's practice.
Tennessee, good luck with that.
So he will likely play. And
how about Sanu?
And cause lots of big troubles for.
How about that pass that Mohamed Sanu threw last week? 50 yards on. It was like the pass Eli threw in the Super Bowl that had a window of like a foot. Mm-hmm. Sanu threw that, and he's a wide receiver. Let's go to the next game. We both like Cincinnati.
Both like Cincinnati there. So next up game, we have Baltimore on the road. They are 2-point favorites in Cleveland against the Cleveland Browns. The over-under here is 41.5.
You know, a lot of people in the country, a lot of handicappers really like Baltimore here going on the road. But, you know, Cleveland is a lot better home team than they are a road team. And if there's one thing Mike Pettine has got going for him right now, is he's got a lot of enthusiasm, not only with his team, but with his fans. You know, they fill that place up. They fill that place up all the time. Mm-hmm. In Cleveland, what else are you going to do?
Exactly.
You go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, or are you going to go to a football game?
You can only go to the Hall of Fame so many times before it becomes boring.
You know,
they have new exhibits every month.
Oh, I'm sure they do, because there's nothing to do in Cleveland.
And they've got lots of bars.
Lots of bars.
Ask Tony. Hopefully Tony will call in later.
He will be joining us in the last segment.
Is he? Did you already talk to him?
Yeah,
good. Ravens play their third division opponent in 3 weeks by traveling into Cleveland, and the Browns are going to be a little giddy. They did beat the Saints at home last week, and, you know, we just said the Saints aren't as good as everybody thinks. Bernard Pierce is not playing today, but Justin Forsett is pretty damn good. Joe Flacco has looked like
terrible.
Like Joe Flacco. And Johnny Manziel is partying his butt off, from what I understand. I mean, he doesn't have to do anything except show up and carry a clipboard and warm up before a game. If something happens, he's probably, you know, wouldn't be, you know, down to something happening to our boy, what's his name, Brian Hoyer. Mm-hmm. Steny Hoyer, we call him. I'm going to pass on this game.
I don't like either game.
I don't like the game. Next game, Matt.
Next up, we have the Detroit Lions hosting the Green Bay Packers. They are two
doubleheader
favorites,
here.
And the over-under here is 52.
Doubleheader here. I like two plays here. I like Detroit -2.5. I love over 52. I'm going to take over 52, -2.5. It's indoors. I will say this. Aaron Rodgers has the best overall record winning percentage of any NFL quarterback indoors. That it does not play indoors on a regular basis.
I believe you're missing something.
What?
Straight cash homie!
Oh, that's right. The over is my straight cash homie. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm glad you put that on.
Straight cash homie.
Yeah, Randy, look, dude, why don't you play for Detroit or something? Detroit
straight
has...
Straight cash homie.
I love Randy. We need to have Randy on the show sometime. You know what? We can get Randy on the show.
Probably.
With all your West Virginia connections, come on.
To Marshall, so that is the other side of the
state. Yeah, that's still West Virginia. That's West, by God, Virginia.
I've met him before. He was at Bob Huggins Fish Fry 2 years ago.
Did he smell funny?
I don't
Like,
I don't
you know, like Mary Jahuchi? do you have that one? I know. Oh, you don't. You took
the
that
NFL
off.
Knows what
Running Eddie
Hall
Lacy
says.
Has yet to get it going this season, but backup James Starks gives the Packers a good option. By the way, Jordy Nelson, my guy, 209 yards last week. God, I love
and
Jordy.
Still lost.
They lost. I know. They lost. Oh, they lost. They didn't cover. That's what you're saying.
No, your fantasy team lost, and you had
my fantasy
Nelson.
Team lost by 1 point. And in the week before, my fantasy team had the second highest total in my fantasy league, and I still lost to the guy that had the number one. Let's go to the next game, but I'm taking both of those. Did you like either of them?
I don't have either play.
You don't like the over?
I can see the over. I hope the over goes off.
You took an under.
I hope the over goes off there. Yes, absolutely.
Let's go. The next game looks good. It's Indianapolis and Jacksonville,
yep.
Isn't it?
Next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars host the Indianapolis Colts. Colts are a 7-point favorite here. The over-under here is 45.
I think I jinxed Jacksonville by having Ron on a couple of times before the season started. Boy, they looked bad last week. They looked bad. Indianapolis is 0-2. How in the world can you not take them going into Jacksonville? And Jacksonville, their rookie wide receiver, Allen Hurns, is out for the week. I'm pretty sure he's not playing. Are you showing Hurns out? I think you are. I'll tell you who else is out. Mercedes Lewis is out. Their tight end, who's good. Chad Henne, who's he going to throw to? I don't see it. Colts are going to get a win here. They have to win. I looked at the Colts' schedule. They can still win 10, 11, 12 games, even with those first two games being losses. Mm-hmm. They have a really easy schedule the rest of the way. I'm taking, it says on here, it's my straight cash homie pick of the week, but it's not. I'm still going to take Indianapolis for 5 stars. I got the final. You ready for this? 44-21. Sounds right.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Jacksonville will be empty, the stadium.
This is my straight cash homie.
Oh, my God.
And the Indianapolis Colts will follow up with what the Redskins did to the Jacksonville Jaguars this Sunday. Jacksonville, they have a decent defense. They have zero offense whatsoever. We are quickly approaching the Blake Bortles era. It hasn't hit yet, but Chad Henne is only a couple more games away from Blake Bortles really stepping in and taking over. Your boy Allen Hurns, you mentioned him. He hurt his ankle against the Redskins.
He didn't practice till Friday.
Yeah, he was upgraded to full participant on Friday, but it doesn't matter.
Well, they
don't have
him.
Enough weapons.
No,
the Colts are loaded. If you have Trent Richardson or Matt Bradshaw in your fantasy league, they might be worth a look to plug and play, especially if you have somebody like Aaron Foster, who is a game-time decision. So the Indianapolis Colts are going to run all over Jacksonville, and it's going to be another – if you watched the Redskins-Jacksonville game last week, you're going to be watching basically a replay this week as Andrew Luck will put up probably 41, just like Mr. Kirk Cousins did on Jacksonville.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins. How about Kirk Cousins? I tried to have Mike on today. He's doing some stuff today, but he's going to probably come on next week or the week after. That would be Kirk Cousins' agent. Let's go to the next game.
Next up, the New England Patriots host the Oakland Raiders. The Patriots are 14-point favorites here. The over-under here is 46-1.
I have passed on the entire game. Oakland is horrible. New England isn't that good. This game reeks of corruption and conspiracy. And I don't trust the New England Patriots or Robert Kraft, their owner, so I'm passing on this game. That's all I'm going to say. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You guys read anything you want into the fact that I'm not playing this game because I don't trust the Patriots.
14-point favorites.
On the road.
No, they're at home.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it's
still,
easier there to...
14 points is a huge point spread for a quarterback who hasn't looked very good this season.
Yeah, his quarterback rating is like 70.
The New England offense has not been clicking.
They fumble well.
Gronk
fumble
has been
well.
In and out of the offense.
He'll get hurt again. He's going to get hurt.
I don't like New England that much. The only thing that I like a lot less than New England right now is the Oakland Raiders. They're terrible.
MJD's not playing.
MJD's out. I don't know who their quarterback is.
Who's their running back?
McFadden.
McFadden,
I guess. I guess it's going to happen.
Yeah, but
is
he even trying?
The whole Oakland Raiders organization.
Let's get to this next game before we take a break. What's the next game here, Matthew?
Next up, the Arizona Cardinals host the San Francisco
49ers. This could have been such a great game.
The 49ers are 3-point favorites on the road in Arizona. The over-under here is 42.
Is Carson Palmer still out, right?
Yes.
That sucks. You know, if Carson Palmer's playing in this game, I'm all over that, but then Arizona's -3, not +3. Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Arizona, I picked them as my dark horse to the Super Bowl because they're the only team, in my opinion, that can beat up on Seattle pretty regularly. They play really well with them. And also, they're playing great defense, even with some guys that aren't there anymore. I'm passing on the game, though. I don't like the game.
Me neither.
We're going to be back in a minute with more NFL, and we're going to go over the Major League Baseball picks for the day. By the way, I'm 7 in a row with Major League Baseball picks this week. I might not be doing anything in the NFL, but follow me, baby. Follow me at Bruce Hall Sports. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Running down our NFL picks in the day, to recap thus far, if you're just joining us, I have New Orleans -10 over Minnesota. I have Cincinnati -7 over Tennessee. I have Indy as my straight cash homie play of the day, -7 over Jacksonville. Bruce has the Lions -2.5 over the Packers. He has, as his straight cash homie, the Lions and Packers over 52. He also likes the Bengals -7, and he also likes the Colts -7 over the Jags.
We're down to another game, Matthew. Can you hit I love that sound.
The next game is one of those, I believe, sixth. It's the sixth ever time.
Seventh in however many years they've had a Super Bowl.
Russ said something, and then we're trying to say it again. And it is the two Super Bowl contenders.
Right. It's the sixth.
I believe it's the sixth.
Because they're 3-2.
Right. So Seattle will play host to the Denver Broncos. Seattle is -5. The over-under here is 48.5.
You know, Seattle got beat last week by a San Diego team. It was 93 degrees on the field. Seattle, I don't know if you've ever been to Seattle. It's usually kind of chilly there and it rains a lot. And it's real loud, but normally when the other team's over the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got beat, but it was a good game. San Diego played great. Phillip Rivers looked great. They got their – Ryan Matthews was injured. He's going to be out for a while. He got hurt in that game, but they still won the game. Let me tell you, I picked Seattle to win the Super Bowl this year. I'm gonna stick with them throughout the end of the season. Even if they're not in the playoffs, I'm going to pick them to win the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Denver, I got them in the rematch. But they're not going to win in Seattle. If you think it was tough on them in New York, wait till they get to Seattle today at 4:15. That's going to be ugly for Denver. And I think what's going to happen is you're going to see Russell Wilson, and you're going to see Marshawn Lynch, and you're going to see all the tools they have on offense, and you're going to see a defense that, along with that 12th man, they're going to destroy Denver. I think the score is going to be like 24-3 at halftime. And then I'm looking for a backdoor later on. I like the over in that game because it's only 48.5. I like Seattle 34, Denver 28.
I don't know if Seattle scores that many points, but
I don't think Denver's defense is that good.
I don't really believe in the Denver Broncos offense thus far. Without Wes Welker, they're looking a little different.
He's there. He's going
to
play.
They get him back today. They've said that he's going terrible. To be a role player of the day. So
he'll be on heroin today, not Molly.
He'll be playing third downs only, so if you have him in your fantasy league, stay away from Wes Welker.
Yeah, he's a druggie.
Just
kidding. Today, I don't know that for sure. Today, wasn't there holding the candle.
Today.
Looked like it, though, handing out those $100 bills. I mean, you know, you got to be on something handing out $100 bills at the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, you do.
I mean,
you have to be on a NFL football team making millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah,
that's what you have to
be a little bit out of your mind.
Well, he's handing out these for
the
Kentucky Derby.
He's not handing it out to the homeless. He's handing it out to women with big hats on.
Yeah, saying, hey, go make a bet for me. Go make a bet for me. He's at the Derby having fun.
Okay.
I'm sure he has millions of dollars that he can do that with.
I don't think he's that. You know, he does make a pretty big. Why don't you pull that up?
He's fine.
All right, let's go to the next game. But that is That's a five star for me, by the way.
I like Denver here.
Oh, you're terrible.
But only to cover. I think Seattle wins in a close one.
Oh, then bet me to cover. Where are we going to eat? We never do this. We just talk about it. Where do you want to go eat if you win? Let's bet. That's a big game to bet, me and you.
Okay.
All right, I'm taking Seattle -5. You're
Denver
taking
plus.
Denver plus 5. Well, okay.
And then
we'll take the girls, too.
We'll figure out something to eat.
Your girl's eating for two.
Chick-fil-A.
All right, next game, Matthew. Next game.
I'm cool with that.
Oh, my God.
Next up, the Miami Dolphins play host to the Kansas City Chiefs. I almost said Marlins and Royals there. Miami plays host. They are 3.5-point favorites. The over-under here is 42.5.
Well, after beating the Patriots at home opening day by 13 points, the Dolphins went into Buffalo and got their butts handed to them last week. I would say they're going to come back from that. They you know, they play better at home anyway. And it's going to be warm down there today.
Yeah.
The Chiefs, remember how good they were to me last year?
Mm-hmm.
I picked them to be that bad this year. They're bad.
So
they're
far,
gonna be,
so good.
They're going to be 0-3 at the end of this day. That's a 4:25 start in Miami Gardens, Florida. I'm not going to play the game because I don't like the line.
Jamaal Charles isn't 100% healthy. I cannot name you a single receiver on the Kansas City Chiefs. Alex Smith is not a world beater.
Anthony Fasano.
Exactly.
He's wonderful.
Exactly. So the Kansas City Chiefs doesn't. They don't really have any weapons. They're playing a much harder schedule this year. So
I had Brian Hartline last year. he sucks too.
The Miami Dolphins, although they're not exactly filled with world beaters either, they are playing at home, like you mentioned. The humidity is extremely high in Miami.
Omar Moreno, baby.
And you heard it from a couple weeks ago when New England was down there. They're saying that the players, they're not used to playing that high humidity. They couldn't really breathe.
Lamar Miller.
They're having to get all those. They're having to get more AC and air conditioning on the sideline.
I'm reading out all the guys that I know on the Miami Dolphins.
The point here is The point here is that Miami, they're at home. They have the atmosphere on their side. They have more talent than Kansas City. And they're going to come out victorious.
I was so bad last year with my fantasy team. I had Charles Clay for a while. He's a tight end that averages about 2 yards per reception. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's go to the next game because we hate this one. I wouldn't watch the Chiefs right now with your eyes.
Don't play that game.
Yeah.
And next up, we have the Carolina Panthers. They're playing host to Pittsburgh Steelers. They are also 3-point favorites over the Steel Curtain. The current over-under is 42.
I hate Jerry Richardson, but I like the Panthers today. And I'll tell you why I like them. Oh, by the way, the Steelers in their last four games against Carolina have averaged winning by 21 points. That's a fact, Jack. And I got to tell you something. That's enough to keep me off this game. But I like the Panthers today, and I'll tell you why. Their defense is for real. And the Steelers are not that good. Look, the Steelers almost should have lost to the Browns opening day, right? At home, the Browns had them beat.
Mm-hmm.
Now they go to Baltimore last week. They lose to your boy Joe Flacco by 20. How good can the Steelers be if they can't go into Baltimore and not be embarrassed? You know, I like the Panthers today, but I'm not gonna play the game because the line's right. It's 3.
I have Carolina -3 over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh,
are you taking them?
Yes,
good for you. Good
Pittsburgh,
for you.
Their running game does not impress me. Big Ben spends more time on his back than he does standing up in the pocket. So I don't really like the Pittsburgh offense until they get something rolling. I'm going to continue to play
against
them.
Their two best running backs go out blowing dope all the time. Hey, let me ask you, in the car, not in the limo, in the car, because they get pulled over and get busted.
Cam Newton is another week healthy. So
yeah, but that little kid is going to get his job.
He is going to get his
job. Little kid is getting, and his mother's going to like him. She's going to root for the little kid.
The play 60 kid will take
I love that commercial.
But I think Carolina has more weapons than Pittsburgh, and their offense looks better. And at this point, that's all either of these teams really have.
By the way, I'm going to take them too, but I don't think I took them in our plays, me and you, Roy.
You did not. No.
But you know what? I've got the Panthers rated okay ++. You know what? I got the Steelers rated okay -. So that's more than 3 points. That's like a 10-point swing at home. Take the Panthers, people. Even though Jerry Richardson owns them. I don't like him. He's a bum. All right, next bet. I mean, next game.
No, we are not.
Next play.
We do not condone gambling.
Next play.
On this
yeah,
show.
We don't do that. Next play.
Next up, the New York Jets play host the Chicago Bears.
Monday night game.
The Jets.
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 I love the Jets.
3-point favorites over the Bears. The current over-under here is 45.5.
Well, you know, here's the problem. The secondary for the Jets is so spotty right now. They got a couple of injuries. But the Jets are good. I mean, the Jets are going to be able to run the football against the Bears. Look, the Bears are giving up 5.4 yards per carry. The Bears have played the Bills and the Niners, so they played two pretty good teams. Mm-hmm. Now they get the Jets. I think the Jets are not like a step down from those two teams. I think it's pretty consistent. I see them going into New York. You know what I like in this game? The over. I love the over in this game. What's the over, Roy? 48.5?
The over under here is 45.5.
That is my Monday night lock of the week, is the over in that game. Unless the wind's blowing 40 miles an hour and it's raining or something. Hmm. If the weather's good in New Jersey tomorrow night, take the over in that game. It's going to be a very entertaining game. And look for a couple of things to happen in that game. Look for Chris Johnson to probably, I mean, if you're a fantasy guy and you got Chris Johnson, you're crazy if you don't play him tomorrow night. Because the Bears' defense sucks. Hello? They do. They suck.
I think this game's going to go a lot like the 49ers-Bears game went a week ago.
I agree.
I think the Jets are going to hop out on top in the beginning, and then I think it's going to be the Brandon Marshall show towards the end of the stretch, and the Chicago Bears are going to end up covering.
Oh, hopefully they won't get their defense. Didn't Wilkerson get thrown out of that game? He did. He got tossed out in like the third quarter because he ripped some guy's helmet off of his head.
But I like the Bears here, but I think this is going to be a close game. I think the 3-point spread, I think that's right on there.
Boy, they did. They beat. I'll tell you what. Did you see the hit that Cutler took in the sternum?
He woke up right afterwards.
Well, as soon as he got hit, I don't think he missed another pass the rest of the game. But he was terrible until then.
Alshon Jeffrey is just a little bit healthier than he was a week ago, which is going to matter all the world. I mean, the Bears have a serious receiving core, and the Jets don't have the defensive backs to cover them. I like Chicago.
No, I agree. And D. Milner, he ain't the guy anyway, even when he's healthy. They don't, you know, they need some corners. They need to trade for a corner somehow.
Speaking of receivers, we just got news that DeSean Jackson will suit up and he will play against the Eagles today.
I might have to change my fantasy starter, but you know what? Do you think he'll do anything against
Philly? I
don't think
he'll do much.
I think the Philly's defensive backs are going to be looking to unload on DeSean. What do you think? I don't think he made a lot of friends anywhere.
I don't think
he
made many friends, and he's not the biggest guy.
All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more of Second Opinion and Tony Mazur with how to make the perfect Pop-Tart.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back.
Hey, we didn't even do the Redskins-Philly game, did we? I don't remember talking about it. I'm taking Philly, by the way.
I'll take the Redskins.
You can take the Redskins. I'm taking
because.
Philly minus six. What I got him on nhbowl.com. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Redskins. I don't go for that kind of language.
You know what? I don't either, but on my show I do. Hey, listen. tell us how to make the perfect Pop-Tart, but don't take too long because we want to get your picks
take
today.
Take as long as you want, Tony.
As you want.
Such an art should
hey,
not
you know
be
what?
Rushed.
I'm going to leave now. You guys just talk. You're always Tony, you're the best guest in the world. Because we love getting to you right before we're gone.
Exactly. I'm like that Friday at work.
You're like that girl who's you're like that girl in college. You knock on her door at 3:30 in the morning. By the way, what are you doing up at 3:30 in the morning? You're always up at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. Because when I get on Twitter, like you know, at 5:30 a.m., there's a Tony Mazur like tweet from an hour ago.
It's interesting. It's the internet wormhole. You go on like YouTube, you look at one video, you're like, oh, you know, I'll watch this song or music video, and all of a sudden it just becomes something where, I mean, just the worst things imaginable that come in your head, and you just get sucked into the internet wormhole, and you realize it's 4:30 4:30 in the morning, and you're like, I have to be up in like 4 hours. What's going on here?
Hey, Brian Hoyer hadn't thrown a pick this year. Can they beat Baltimore at home? That's a stupid question.
Oh, yeah.
Of course they can.
Yeah. If Bernard Pierce is out today, Jordan Cameron's playing, Barkevious Mingo's playing.
So is Barkevious playing? I didn't know that.
Ravens are completely demoralized. I mean, and by the way, did you see what happened with Ray Lewis just about maybe half hour ago?
Did he kill somebody else?
No, he's on ESPN, and they're talking to him about the Ray Rice situation.
Oh, God. That's his best friend. It's like his adopted son.
Yeah. And he actually said this: there are some things you can cover up and some things you can't.
He said that?
Can I just say one thing? If the prosecutor in Atlanta several years ago had an IQ over 70, he'd be in jail still. Easily.
Absolutely. Apparently you can cover up a bloody suit.
Well, you know, he buried it. Somebody buried it somewhere. They probably burned it, then buried it. I mean, I was there that night. I mean, that was a Super Bowl in Atlanta. And that was like one of the first times. I think that was the ice storm. And it was a Friday night, and we were right down the street in Buckhead. And literally, it was on the news by 3 a.m. And, you know, we weren't, you know, we got in at about 2:30. But, you know, there weren't a lot of facts about it. So you want to talk about the Cleveland, or you want to tell us how to make the perfect Pop-Tart? How are you going to make a perfect Pop-Tart? Are you using a real Pop-Tart that you buy in the store and then doing something to it?
Yeah, exactly. You put it in the microwave for 8 seconds. Perfect Pop-Tart. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, believe it or not, some of our listeners, that probably helped them, to be honest
Absolutely.
With you. It did. So let's talk about the Browns. Pettine looks like the real deal. I mean, he looks like he's having fun. Is he having fun?
Yeah, he's, I guess after his first win last week, he admitted on Monday he went out and just got completely hammered. He said he was hungover for his press conference the next day. So it's like, all right, I can respect that. He had his first win. He had a nice six stogie and just got completely blitzed out of his mind.
That's not a bad team. That's not a bad team in Cleveland, buddy.
No, and the week one was just they came out unprepared against Pittsburgh in the first half. Then they came back, and then they really gave it to the Saints. Now, I don't think last week Drew Brees was on his game at all. I think that Saints team is just basically Jimmy Graham is like the ultimate fantasy player, and it's like Drew Brees actually has Jimmy Graham on his fantasy team because that was basically his main target the whole time. And if you can double or triple up on Jimmy Graham, who does those basketball moves, then you have the Saints. And that's what the Browns ended up doing towards the end of the game last week. And Brian Hoyer, you know, is he a great quarterback? No. Is he serviceable for the time? Could he pave the way for maybe Manziel? Or is Brian Hoyer the real deal in the future quarterback?
You know,
we don't know.
He's a local. I mean, you know, they love him because he grew up near there, right?
Yeah, he grew up. He probably grew up maybe like 10 miles down the road from me, actually.
What do you think of this kid West? He's a real deal too, isn't he? Is he going to stay healthy? Because he looks like he runs pretty hard.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the issues is because they have bruising running backs. Like, they don't have like these scat backs like Darren Sproles or they had Deion Lewis that was with the Browns last year. Ben Tate's hurt and he'll probably be hurt for a month. He's out for a month. But I mean, Terrence West and this Isaiah Crowell. Take a look at these.
Crowell's a little bitty guy, isn't he? Isn't he like 5'8"?
Yeah, but he's thick.
Is he?
And I mean, this guy has some explosiveness, and I'd be interested to see how Baltimore's defense is going to stop that today. Just in a league that is so pass heavy,
right?
If you can set up the run, you could have Baltimore early, and they might not be able to recover. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure Joe Flacco has. I think he only lost to the Browns once. or
he has some incredible in Pittsburgh, same way. I mean, him and Roethlisberger, if they could play the Browns regularly, they'd never lose. Let me ask you a question. We're talking to Tony Mazur from Cleveland. He's our guy. It doesn't matter what it is in Cleveland, whether it's comedy, whether it's DJing, whether it's sports. Tony, I'm never going to call anybody else. And I know Kylie. Hell, Kylie big league me anyway. I'd call Kylie. He'd probably say, I'll come on. He'll forget or something. Tell Kevin I said hi next time you see him, though, would you? Is Chuck Booms still alive, or how's he doing?
Yeah, barely. No, he does TV stuff. He's on actually right now with former Browns players Bob Golic, Joe Jurevicius, and Bernie Kosar on our local CBS affiliate.
You know, there's not enough liquor probably in that room of the house to keep those guys happy.
My God.
I know. Let me ask you a question real quick. I'm just talking about Kosar. The other guys, they wouldn't need to do anything. Let me ask you a question. You know, Cleveland's given up a lot of yardage, but they played a couple of decent teams, and they're playing a decent team today. They got any chance, you think, to win 6-7 games this year? Because if they were to win 6 or 7 games this year, and then go through the draft next year and maybe make some moves in the offseason, they could be competitive in a year or two, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. If the Browns won 6 games this year, they'd erect a statue for Mike Pett. I mean, that's how pathetic it's been here in Cleveland. If you have a coach who can win 6 games, they're gonna say, extend this guy, give him, 5-year, 10-year contract, and that's just what it is. It's like the Jeff Fisher situation. But now it is. I gotta say, if they can be very competitive, and especially going into next year. And a lot of it also depends on the fact that the Browns also have Buffalo's first-round pick next year.
Oh, that's right.
When they
so they're going to have two first-rounders?
Yep. Yeah, they'll have two first-rounders.
It's going to be a good draft, too, next year, too. Maybe they get maybe they should just lose a bunch and just get Mariota, and just give the other two guys away.
What about Jameis Winston? He could do some stupid things. I mean, we already have
Jameis Winston. The over under on days for him to end up in jail with a felony is like 89 days right now.
He's so clueless. He's suited up yesterday for the game that he was suspended for,
and he wasn't even supposed to be. He couldn't be in pads, and he came up suited. And the coach, you should see. Have you seen Facebook? Or you should see the look on Jimbo Fisher's face.
What are you
He's
doing?
Like, by the way, I can't believe that this guy's on my freaking team.
By the way, let's stop here for a second by saying that there is a man named Jimbo Fisher who is a multi-millionaire head coach and not a guy who works in the auto mechanic place at a Texaco.
Right. He's not the guy changing your oil. He's the guy running a very dysfunctional football team that happens to be the number one team in the country.
Hey, they were lucky to beat Clemson. I can't believe Clemson let that guy fell down. The cornerback fell down, or they lose to Clemson last night.
So Tony, yeah. I have a very important question.
Oh, this ought to be good.
And it's about fantasy, like it always is whenever I'm talking to you. So Aaron Foster is out today. For those of you listening who didn't know already, he is officially inactive from the Houston Texans. So I have two guys that I'm looking to plug and play here. One you're very familiar with. His name's Trent Richardson. The Cleveland Browns traded him away for a bag of potato chips. And the other guy that I have there is Alfred Blue, who is Arian Foster's replacement and is getting the start today for the Houston Texans. So what do I do here, Tone?
I got Terrence West. I'm not too worried about it.
Trent didn't have a bad week last week. I mean, relatively speaking, for a running back, it'd be like, it was an average week. But for Trent, my goodness, he had an excellent, 60 yards last week?
Yeah. Tony, if it sounds like we cut you off in 45 seconds, it's because we have a drop dead, at the end of the hour.
Oh, well, good heavens. Well,
quick, tell him to take Trent Richardson, because I would tell him that.
Who do I take to him?
Go take Trent and then go off to the bar right now.
Hey, Tony, you know we always love having you on.
This is why I hate Sunday, Tony.
Can I tell you what? I love Sunday because it's when we get to see Tony and listen to Tony. I don't see you, but I know what you look like now. But hey, we got to get you here sometime. We'll put you up somewhere. You can even stay with me if you want. You just got to take care of an old dog if you stay at my house. Well, Tony, we'll see you next week, okay? Will you be back on?
See you
guys. All right, we'll be back next week. Roy, great show. Matt, great show. People of New York, great listening. We'll talk to you later.